Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with everyone today. I trust you're having a great day. And let's see if I'm pretty sure we're live on the air right now. Let's. All right, so welcome back to the broadcast. I'm pretty sure that we're going through alive and well right now. Let me make sure that our brother from Australia is joining me on the air. Good morning, Daniel. How are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm good. There you are. I was doing a whole Gomer Pyle impression. What was that? What did he used to say? Gomer Pyle was, what did Gomer Pyle used to say?
I've never heard of him.
I was going to ask, do you even know who Gomer Pyle is? He was on the Andy Griffith show. Says, my, or something like that. Or good morning. So let me just make sure we're doing good here. I got a little off track. George, we should be back on the air now. And we have Daniel Seckham from Australia on the air with us. George, you could probably tune into Blog Talk and hear us pretty good at this point. Okay, give it a shot. Go back to Blog Talk Radio. All right. So, Daniel, how are you this morning?
Very well. Yeah, very well. So, happy to be back on this time slot, although it's going to get a lot better when our daylight savings comes to an end, which means I'll have my active brain back again.
Yes. Well, we love your active brain. And, you know, we're approaching the radio broadcast today, you know, on this Wednesday. We do Kerm Radio, and if you have a great message, I'm going to keep you awake for a couple more hours if I can get you back on Kerm Radio. But for right now, we are broadcasting live on the Omega Radio Network and Blog Talk Radio. And Daniel, I'm sure you have some insightful thoughts that you want to talk about. As I understand it, the New Zealand shooting, from your perspective, the supposed shooting over New Zealand, I guess the supposed or the alleged man that went into the mosque and shot and killed those Muslims was from Australia, if I'm not mistaken. What are your thoughts about that? What have you been hearing? Do we even want to go down that path today?
Well, yeah, I mean, we should definitely talk about that. I mean, that's something, the event was massive and had a lot of different ramifications surrounding that. It's an event that needs to be talked about. There is a lot of voices saying that we need to be quiet about that, but I think there needs to be some pushback. In fact, I've noticed that there have been a number of different pastors who are saying that we shouldn't politicize it and we shouldn't talk about it. Let's just offer our condolences and just let it be. But we cannot afford to, and I'll explain why. And that's because the left have seized this opportunity to maximize it for their political purposes, which is, again, it's extremely ironic because they are the ones who are saying that we should not politicize it, but they end up politicizing it themselves. What has actually happened, and this is very disturbing, is the fact that they say that a Muslim terrorist, that Muslims should not be demonized or should be held to account for the actions of one Islamic terrorist. Yet on the other foot, they're saying that all people who are politically on the right of center are accountable and complicit in the Christchurch shooting, which is absolutely obscene, absolutely obscene. But this is how they are playing it. We've seen it in all different news articles. In fact, there's a left wing organization who are called Slate. Some of you might have heard of Slate. And they just came out today and said that the Christchurch shootings should implicate all white Australians.
Wow.
So that's what Slate magazine are saying. And then there's Keith Ellison, who came out and said that Trump is partly complicit. He said that Trump is complicit in the New Zealand shootings because he caused the atmosphere of hate. He was, and then we have others who were saying that if you are right wing, then you are guilty. In fact, we had on an Australian program on the ABC called The Drum, where they had some Muslim women giving their opinions, and they said that that right wing people basically are the ones who should shoulder the blame for this. So again, the double standards is really, really interesting, because they say that we should not be judged for the actions of a terrorist because he has nothing to do with Islam, or they say because he has a mental illness, or he's a lone wolf, he has nothing to do with us. And so they wipe their hands of their responsibility in regard to that. Yet they say that all people who are right-wing, who believe in free markets and freedom of speech and individual liberty and personal responsibility, all those people are complicit, and all those people should shoulder the blame. And this is why we need to have some pushback. Because if we don't, what we actually are doing is we are allowing the national conversation to go all in one direction. We cannot do that. We cannot allow the left to completely capture the national conversation. Because if we do allow that, it will be a dangerous echo chamber of confirmation bias that will only become more and more extreme and more exacerbated. What I have said over and over is that I've said this a number of different times, and that is this principle, and that is that first they will demonize you and then they will dehumanize you. First they will demonize you and then they will dehumanize you. This is not an overreaction, and this is not being melodramatic, because this is exactly what happens. We saw this happen in Nazi Germany. You know, first they began with demonizing the Jews, and then they eventually got to dehumanizing them, and then they could do away with them, because once you dehumanize something, it no longer has any value moral value attached to them, so you can just dispose of them. But this is what they are trying to do. In fact, it was on the interview with the Muslim women on the drum program on the on Australia's ABC, which is Australia's version, I think, of what's your government's subsidized station in America? Is it PBS?
Yes, the public broadcasting syndrome.
That's right. Yep, yep. So we the PBS version that we have here is ABC. So basically, ABC came out is a very, very left wing, pro big government, very, very collectivist and very anti Christian TV station. And so they basically, you know, if they have a conservative on any of their programs, they always stack the deck and always have somebody say a gotcha question. There's always a gotcha question where they try to catch out the conservative and then hammer him. So this is what's happening. The left want to dominate the national conversation. And on a side note, have you noticed that the left are ramping up their attacks on Fox News just recently?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, they always have, but yeah, it's going forward.
Yes, and that's extremely important to understand that. In fact, Fox News, I think, also was blamed for the Christchurch attacks, including, not surprising at all. The left hate the fact that there is still a voice that is contrary to their narrative that is speaking, and that's Fox. Fox is not perfect, and Fox has done some things that have caused to raise some eyebrows, including the suspension of Judge Jeanne, which I think is absolutely wrong, and she should be reinstated. But the other worrying thing that we've just seen is the hiring of Donna Brazel. The one who basically was, I think she was paid off by Clinton to actually award her the, she basically swung the vote in her way, and which basically jilted Bernie Sanders. So, yeah, I mean, there are some major questions here, and we need to do everything that we possibly can to ensure that Fox News remains a conservative TV station, because the left are going to try everything they possibly can to bring down Fox News, because they want to dominate the national conversation. It's what they want. And if all of the stations in America are completely left, then people need to understand. See, here in Australia, basically listens and reports basically what the big news outlets are saying in America. So if America becomes completely left in their reporting, then Australia will hopelessly follow suit, as well as the rest of the world. So again, America's fight is our fight, you know, and this is why whenever I go over there, I always say to people over there that the reason why I'm so concerned and so passionate about America and about American politics is because, as an Australian, I understand how important it is for America to stay strong, because when America is strong, the rest of the world is safe, you know. But if America is weak, and if America goes down economically or militarily, we all go down. The Western world, the free world is finished. And this is what people need to understand. And this is why America is so targeted and so is the focus of so much satanic power, because America is the sole remaining source for good in the world, because if America is removed from the world stage, then you'll see chaos like the world has never ever seen before. So, yeah. And this is why I'm so passionate and pro-America in that regard.
Absolutely. And I want to get back to the, and your statements are exact, and I think your last one is so true, but our collective sin as a nation is giving gasoline to the fire. There's no doubt about that. But I want to read just a little bit about this man from New Zealand, and I'm going to ask you some questions, Daniel, that are purposefully intended to be somewhat of an advocacy and for what happened. I just want to bring some thoughts up, but I want to let our audience know that what I'm about to share is in by no means my particular advocation. I don't advocate anybody going into any place and shooting and killing people, and that is the alleged report right now. So here's the guy. He's described as a 28-year-old white nationalist from Australia, the man who authorities say went on a terrorist rampage at two Christchurch, New Zealand mosques Friday, left behind a vitriolic 74-page manifesto, a litany of internet evidence, and a horrific string of 49, now we know 50 bodies to mark his twisted crime. New Zealand and Australian authorities initially released few details about the suspect, now charged with one count of murder. The assailant was armed with an assault rifle and helmet camera as he gunned down Muslim men, women, and children who attended weekly prayer services. Now, the shooter who live streamed the horrendous acts identified himself as Brenton Tarrant and is said to have been a personal trainer who left Grafton, a small town in New South Wales, to see the world. While abroad, the manifesto said he grew to so hate immigrants, and in particular Muslims, that he became consumed with a desire to kill them by the score and seek to inspire others to do the same. In the document titled The Great Replacement, the writer said he called himself a fascist, but not a member of any specific white nationalist organization. At the same time, he championed such killers as Dylan Roof, the young white supremacist sentenced to death for slaughtering 9 African Americans in a church in Charleston, South Carolina in 2015. Mm-hmm. And Anders Breivik, the far right Norwegian terrorist who in 2011 killed 8 people by detonating a van bomb, shooting dead 69 people, many of them teens, at a summer camp. So the Christchurch suspect also asserted he was not a Nazi, but written on a rifle that's seen in the gunman's live stream video is the number 14, a reference to a white supremacist slogan conceived by neo-Nazi David Lane, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, without going any further, just the title of this article was The New Zealand Mosque Suspect Linked to White Nationalist Internet Manifesto. Now, here's my question to you. As they are spinning this in every direction, as an advocate, conversation, not in the act that was done. You go back to the Native Americans in America and at the beginning of our country, the Native Americans were here. And to them, they saw the invaders coming. They saw the white colonialists coming, right? They saw the people coming to their land, taking it over. And in some cases, there is a history where the cavalry would come in and they would loot and they would kill and they would rape and do certain things. It was not all pretty. I mean, that's just the way it was. Nonetheless, the Native Indians, the Native Americans, Daniel, would look at these guys as coming and taking over their land. So they would go out on little raids and they would fight against them and, you know, try to scalp their heads off and do something. But they thought they were doing it for their safety of their nation. So this guy goes there with the thought in mind, and that book, by the way, that he's getting his documentation from is The Replacement Society, written by a French professor from 1973, as I understand it. And so here's a guy who is white, and he wants to protect his country, and he's watching from his perspective, he's watching this Islamic invasion, which we all cried out against in Europe when the Islamic invasion into Europe was happening. Remember, everybody was crying out. The crime rate exploded 10 times more than it was. Women were being raped. And so what do you do as a man living in your society when foreign invaders are coming in doing that if you don't stand up? And so does that justify, in this man's mind, something that the government would just tolerate and let go on, like Merkel from Germany? So that's the one side of that. I'm going to start there, and then we'll pick it up later. Your thoughts about that?
Man, there is so many talking points that you just mentioned. And let's start with the shooter himself, Brenton Tarrant. who was from a town in New South Wales called Grafton, which is actually where some of my family is from. In fact, my family used to go up to Grafton every year, every summer. So I know Grafton very well. My family members don't know of this particular individual, but we need to talk about his political affiliations, because the left have come out swinging. In fact, the whole event really has been like manna from heaven to them, because it's a gift that's fallen into their hands, because it's exactly what they want, because they duck for cover and they go into defensive mode every time it's a Muslim shooter. But considering that he's a white nationalist, a white supremacist, this is why they're harping on about it, and taking it, getting as much mileage out of it as they possibly can. There's a bunch of different reasons why, because they have to maintain the idea that all cultures are equal. They have to maintain that at all costs. They cannot entertain for any moment that Christian culture is better than Islamic culture. Because if they admit that, then they're admitting that Christianity, that there is some merit to Christianity, and they cannot afford to do that. In their view, Christianity is just as has equal worth with any other religion. So they cannot give any merit to Christianity, and if they can't make Islam as good as Christianity, then what they will do, they will make Christianity as bad as Islam. And so just the way it works. Now, back to Brenton Tarrant, he has been touted by the media as a right-wing terrorist. Now, even sadly, our Prime Minister said this, but it is simply not true. It is not true at all. In fact, if anything, he is a left-wing extremist. He's a radical environmentalist. He called himself an eco-fascist, a sympathizer of communist regimes. Now, he said that if there was ever a government, a foreign government that he would identify to politically to, that would be communist China. He said that. He said that if there's any government or political system that he identifies the closest to, it will be that of communist China. So he openly despises mainstream conservatism. He hates conservatism. He says conservatism is dead. Thank God, he says. He has a strong condemnation for mainstream conservatives, whom he dismisses as milquetoast civic nationalist boomers. So he hates not only that, but he really rails against capitalism. He hates capitalism. So what we're talking about here is not someone who's right-wing at all. We're talking about someone who, if anything, is better described as alt-left. He is that is the better, most apt description for what we are dealing with here. Now, also, too, keep in mind that Hitler was not right-wing. He was a national socialist. In fact, I'll tell you something interesting, is that many of Hitler's brown shirts actually used to be members of the German Communist Party. But what happened was is that when the Communist Party lost out to the Nazis, many of the former members of the German Communist Party simply switched sides. They simply jumped ship. They jumped ship from being a communist to being a national socialist. In fact, they earned themselves a nickname. They were called the Brown Shirt Stakes, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong, but they were called the Communist Stakes, or they were called Stakes, because the reason why, they were brown on the outside, but they were red in the center. See, they were Hitler's brown shirts, and they were called, and many of the recruits were called Stakes, because they were brown on the outside. Yep, that's right, but they were red on the center. They were former communists. They simply switched sides. And this is what people need to understand, is that Hitler's nationalist socialism, socialism compared to Vladimir Lenin's Soviet socialism, it's just simply the difference between Coke and Pepsi. You know, there are variations between the two, but they are not left and right. That we are talking left and alt left. They are just different variations of the same thing. Now, you would never have called Nazism right wing, or even fascism right wing, before World War II. That would never have been the case. Now, we know the founder of Marxism, because Marxism is the founder of Marxism is Karl Marx, but nobody knows the founder of fascism, because the founder of fascism has been conveniently airbrushed from our history books. The founder of fascism is a man called Giovanni Gentile, and Giovanni Gentile was a devout Marxist. He was a Marxist theorist and writer and philosopher. He was an ardent socialist, and he was the one who theorized fascism, which, again, is a variant of the whole socialist philosophy. So what we are dealing with here, and here's the thing. See, the horse is already bolted, which is really unfortunate, because now we are stuck with the whole right-wing narrative. And so it's extremely difficult trying to discern and delineate with these different terms, because the right wing is so established within the American consciousness that it's very difficult to re-explain that it's not actually historically correct. So this is where we are. So Brenton Tarrant was not a right winger. He was actually a left winger. Now, here's the other thing that he wanted to do. He wanted to cause a civil war. He wanted to reignite the gun debate in America. And he wanted the left to rise up and to take away the guns from the conservatives, because he wanted to trigger a civil war in America. See, people don't talk about that, but that's exactly what's written in his manifesto. So these are really important points that people need to understand about this man. Now,
Go ahead. Okay, let me just insert a thought here, because you brought up something that I think is very powerful in this alleged gun shooting in Christchurch, New Zealand, where 50 people have allegedly been killed. Okay, that's the deal. Is it? Yeah. I was thinking, was this a possible, because we're just looking at possibilities, a false flag event with the attempt to disarm the American people of their guns? There's an article, and this is the other side of the story, okay? Simon Clark wrote this article, and he said, the New Zealand shooting was inspired by the hate America is exporting. We need to deal with that reality, this writer said. And so here you have a whole article on the hatred that America is exporting, obviously coming from the leader of America, Donald J. Trump, who's obviously a racist, a white nationalist, and is involved in this far right wing, conservative movement to push back against the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League's attempt to color the world, so to speak. And so anybody that's white that does anything is obviously the enemy at this moment. And I just wanted to put that out there. But I also want to say one other thing, and I apologize for pushing this, but in the idea, without advocating the murder of 50 people, but going back, you know, even in a Chicago neighborhood or a Los Angeles neighborhood, you have the Bloods and you have the Crips. You know, we have our neighborhood, you have your neighborhood. You come into our neighborhood, there's going to be a fight, right? So this is not something so uncommon and unusual. Is this man that we're talking about inspired to keep his country what his country is, and not allow the globalists or his local government to open the doors, like we saw in Europe, the Islamic invasion that everybody condemned because of what was going to happen? Did he have a right to stand up and fight against it?
Well, that is a good point. He did. He did. Now, listen, when you read his manifesto, there are a number of different things that he touches on, which does resonate with conservatives. And one of the things that he said was, diversity is weakness and unity is strength. Now, that is correct. That is actually correct. He's right about that, because diversity is not strength. Diversity is weakness. Diversity is strength to globalists. That's what needs to be said. Diversity is absolutely strength to globalists and for the cause of globalism. They try to demonize national unity. This is why there's an assault on all the national days, the independence days and the days of national celebration. You know, this is why the left tried to destroy Australia Day here in Australia. This is why Columbus Day in America is under attack. This is why St. George's Day in England is under attack. This is why, you know, no matter what the day is that's a cause for national celebration, the left will attack it, because they are attacking national strength. They hate national unity and they want it destroyed. So that's one thing that you definitely need to understand in regard to that. So now,
let me just
the other thing is too.
Oh, may I interject one more time here? Because I know I'm pressing the issue. But Daniel, you've been involved. Your whole ministry is Israel, Islam, and the end times. And we, for years ago, were being taught and trained through our studies and researches that when it comes to the stealth jihad of Islam, how they knew they could not confront the West, you know, head on with a physical battle. They went into stealth jihad. They took positions of power. We see that in our Congress now taking place. But we were told that everywhere a mosque is built, that is the fort.
Yes.
Then the warriors join that community at the mosque, and they get a radius of houses, and they purchase things, and it becomes a Sharia zone where, you know, the Gentiles, the whatever they're called, the Goyim, are no longer permitted in. And so here from our training, everywhere a mosque is built, it becomes a center of radicalization to some degree. And so you're watching the enemy build his fort right in front of you. The warriors join it. It becomes a threat to the society. Mm-hmm. The government doesn't do anything about it. So does a guy like this have a right to do what he does, to go and try to get rid of the enemy?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's another good point. And I'll definitely need to talk about that. In fact, I did an entire talk that's on YouTube. It's called the Muslim Immigration and the Islamic Doctrine of Hijra. That's an extremely important talk that I would encourage people to listen to.
Where can they find that? I want to put that on Omega Radio.
Go to YouTube.
Okay.
Yep,
and what's
it
called?
It's on YouTube. It's called Muslim Immigration and the Islamic Doctrine of Al-Hijra.
And that's from you?
People
from
need to understand. That's from me. Yep. That's from one of my seminars.
It'll
That's
be
a
on
really important talk.
Okay.
Great. That's a very important talk to understand, because it really does explore the role and responsibility of Christians. And this is what I believe is the greatest challenge to the church now. This is the greatest challenge, and this is it. It is taking up the responsibility to defend our society from expansionist Islam, to put a stop to Islamic conquest within our nation. So that is a responsibility. As Christians, we have a responsibility to try and put a stop to that, because if we ever come under Sharia law, it will mean the suffering, and I'm talking real suffering and persecution of Christians and of our people. If we truly love our neighbor, we will do everything we can to stop the creeping Sharia that's actually going on. We need to stop it in its tracks, because if we don't stop it, we will just go further and further down the track with what's happening in Europe at the moment.
Okay, now
Okay,
and this will be the last interruption, okay? My last interruption. I want you to know that the video you just told me about that people could listen to will be on Omega Radio today. In about an hour after our broadcast, we'll go ahead and put it up there, and I'll play it several times. But also, and I wanted to just say to our listeners, I am not advocating the mass shooting that took place allegedly in New Zealand. However, it is a witness to all Christians everywhere that race would rise against race. And this is kind of ideological and conceptual, right? So we're seeing more Bible prophecy fulfilled as this is going forward.
Yes. Now, here's the other flip side. And this is why it's a challenge. It's without a doubt the biggest challenge to the church in our time. Here's the flip side. Not only do we need to put up a defense to Western civilization, not only do we need to try and stop the expansion of Islamic ideology because we love our neighbor. The other thing is that we need to love the Muslim. This is absolutely crucial. We cannot, absolutely cannot, revert to hate. We cannot respond with hatred towards the Muslims.
But the world will.
Yeah, that's right. Is Islam our enemy? The answer to that is yes. It is the enemy of Western civilization. Within Islam, they have Da' al-Islam and Da' al-Harb. So Muhammad divided the world into two spheres. So Da'al Islam means Islamic countries that are already under Sharia. And then he referred to Da'al Harb, which is actually means house of war. And he basically is referring to any nation that has not come under Sharia. So, and Muhammad says that that Islam will perpetually be at war with Da'al Harb nations until they succumb to Islam and come under the rule of Islam. So we are at war, and they are, Islam is the enemy of the West. But here's the thing. Jesus said, love your enemies. He said, love them. This is what we cannot forget, and we cannot overstate this enough. We must love the Muslim. We have a responsibility of Christians to love these people. And if we don't, then we are reneging on our spiritual, on our biblical mandate to love our enemies. And here's the thing, when we love them, and I'm talking about genuinely loving them from the heart, you know, they will see that, and they will see the gospel, you know, and they will see the heart of Jesus. See, they don't know love within Islam. See, within Islam, Allah is not a God of love. He's a God of retribution. He's a God of judgment. He's a God of enforcing, you know, law, strict laws to live by, and there's constant fear. Okay, that's what the Muslims are known. So, but when it comes to a God of love, it's completely foreign to them. You know, even the concept of forgiveness is a concept within Islam that is completely alien. They don't understand forgiveness. They don't understand that God is a God that can actually forgive sins and that he loves you, that he absolutely loves you. And this is what Muslims need to know. They need to get to know this God that absolutely loves them. Now, that said, I also need to talk about another project that I'm working on, and it's called Why Jesus. It's called the Why Jesus Project. So 2 years ago, I was in the shower and I was praying, and I said this to God. I said this to God. I said, God, I said, I hate Islam, but I absolutely love Muslims. What can I do about that? And God said to me, and God straight away put into my heart the idea of putting together a website, and he put two faces before me, and one face was a man called Al Fadi, who was actually an excellent apologist in reaching out to Muslims. He's actually a former Saudi. Well, he's a Saudi national living in America at the moment. I think he's living in Dallas, but Al Fadi actually he wanted to join Al Qaeda. But his family talked him out of it. And so instead he went to America to finish off his engineering degree. And that's where he came across these Christians who then led him to the Lord. So anyway, I got in contact with Al Fadi. And so he helped me with the translation work of this website, because the Why Jesus website that I developed is completely in Arabic. It's called Li Matsayasu in Arabic. And yet it completely preaches the gospel and explains the real Jesus to the Muslim. Hmm. This is what it does. The other person that that came before me was a friend of mine who was a property developer. I rang him and told him about the project, and so he funded it. He funded it. And so it all came together. It's just incredible how the project came together. And since it came together, the first convert from that, his name is Omar, and he actually was from a very Islamic town within Jordan, and he became born again as a result of the website, and he has since moved to Oman, and he is attending a church, a fellowship there, and now he is being discipled. So that goes to show, you know, my prayer was, I hate Islam, but I love Muslims.
Beautiful.
And really, you cannot love a Muslim, really, until you really hate it is what they're involved with, because it is oppressing. It is, when you understand the oppression and the suffering that Muslims endure because of their religion, I mean, it will grieve you. It will grieve you. And when you understand just how oppressed they are, you would do everything you possibly can to get them out of that. So the next website that we did was called Kenapa Yesus, which is completely translated into Indonesian. And so we're reaching out to the Indonesian Muslims with the gospel. And the next one that I'm trying to raise money for is called Khera Issa, which is going to be completely in Farsi. And we're going to be targeting Shia Muslims who speak Farsi. So we're talking about Iran, Iranian Muslims, Tajikistan, and Afghanistan. So that's the Muslims that we're going to be aiming for then. Then there will be another two websites after that, one in Urdu. So we'll be targeting mainly Pakistani Muslims. And then we'll be targeting, and then we'll do another website, but in English. So that is what the Why Jesus project is all about. It's taking the gospel to the Muslim, which is what we need to do, because ultimately it's the gospel that is the ultimate thing that can turn around Islam. You know, I actually did an interview with Dr. Hormoz Shariat. He's actually a former Muslim from Iran. His family fled to the United States from Iran because of persecution. In fact, Dr. Hormoz Shariat's older brother was arrested for political protests when he was 17, and his family pled with the Iranian government to release him because, you know, he was just a boy, he was 17. But when he actually turned 18, they put him before a firing squad, and then they shot him. And then they sent an invoice to his family billing them for the bullets that were used to kill him. So you can imagine just how traumatized and grieved and distressed that Dr. Hormoz was with the killing of his brother. But what he has done, he found the gospel when he came to the U.S., and he has resolved to channel all of that hurt into reaching as many Iranians as he possibly can with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And since then, tens of thousands of Iranians. Now, when I say that, I'm not exaggerating, I'm not embellishing. Dr. Hormoz Shariat is known as the Billy Graham of Iran. He's known as the Billy Graham of Iran. He's an exceptional man. I have recently been in contact with him, and he is going to be helping me with the translation work with the next Why Jesus website, Khera Issa. So he's going to be helping me with the translating the website into Farsi, which is really, really exciting. If there's anybody out there that wants to be a part of that project, you can actually go to the Israel, Islam, and End Times website. Just click on any article, and at the end of the article, you'll see want to share the gospel with Muslims, and then you'll see a GoFundMe, like a GoFundMe widget where you can donate money to raise funds for that particular project. So that's what our heart needs to be all about. We need to focus on reaching the gospel, reaching the Muslims. We need to love them from the heart, and we need to do everything we possibly can to reach out to them. That's our responsibility of Christians. But here's the other thing. We also need to love our neighbor. We need to love our, we need to love our own countrymen, and we need to protect our own countrymen. And that means that we need to take a stand against unmitigated immigration. We need to take a stand against that, because that would destroy, you need to understand that wherever Islamic immigration goes to, it undermines and destroys the liberal democracies wherever you find it. You need to look at Iran, what happened to Iran, and what actually happened to Lebanon. I mean, they were thriving liberal democracies, but then they got drunk with the leftist ideology and began to say that all cultures are equal and we'll embrace everybody, and they began to have an open door policy. And then Islam came in, and what happened is that the Islam grew and grew and grew, and to the point where, the Tudor, the party that was in power before the Iranian Revolution, the Tudor Party, they were very left-leaning. In fact, they were socialists. Even some would say that they were communists. But what happened was is that they, when the Iranian 1979 Iranian Revolution happened, the Tudor Party, three things happened to the Tudor Party. A third of them actually fled and went into exile. The other third were imprisoned and subject to torture. The other third were killed. That's what happened to them. So Islam uses civil liberty to destroy civil liberty. They use our freedoms to destroy our freedoms. So we need to be mindful of that, and we need to put up a defense to that. And this is the tricky part, Vincent, because, yes, we need to defend against the political Islam and encroaching Sharia law, but at the same time, we need to love them. And sometimes it can be a very, very challenging balance to hold, but it's an absolutely necessary balance that we must take.
Right, and I think that's excellent wisdom, and I totally agree. We're actually called to abhor what is evil. You know, it's kind of like the pedophile that's raping little boys and little girls, and you're told, okay, you got to love these mm-hmm. people, but you just despise their actions. So I'm going to throw one at you. Okay, here you go. I'm going to throw one at you, and this you're going to put this in your nugget belt, okay? I call it the wild man politics, all right? I call it the wild man politics. You're going to have to write articles and blog on this, okay? So the wild man politics is what I really sense is going on, and you go back to, of course, Genesis chapter 16, verse 12, and it says, well, let's actually go back even a little further to verse 11. It says, "And the angel of the Lord said unto her," this is to Hagar, "Behold, you are with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard thy affliction, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." So wild man politics are the politics of Ishmael, which we see in the Hadith and the Quran and Sharia and all these things, I believe. And if anybody's going to correct that, you will, and I appreciate that. But in the wild man politics, he has just been struck, so he's got to strike back. Okay, he's got to strike back. This is not just going to rest now. This is not just going to end now. Ishmael, Islam, is going to rise, and there's going to be a kingdom against kingdom conflict, a race against race conflict. And how close are we to seeing the powder keg really blow? Even though we as Christians love Muslims, we love homosexuals, we love people that are doing evil, we even love the left, right, and progressives. And so how do we as Christians love all of these people when we're about to see the greatest amount of hatred towards one another mm-hmm. in the realm of mankind? Isn't that kind of the trick behind this whole thing?
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you raised that, because I'm actually working on an article right now, and it's called this: Last Days Reminder to Christians. We need to keep cool heads and warm hearts. You know, last day's reminder to Christians, let's keep cool heads and warm hearts. That is so important in these last days because there will be retribution. In fact, Islamic State came out and said just that they are going to avenge the deaths of the Muslims in New Zealand. So it's not if they're going to do it, it's when they're going to do it, which is really sobering. So there are people living today who are going to be killed, who are going to be Islamic State are going to target. So that's without a doubt. Yes, absolutely, there is that wild man aspect to it. And as it was prophesied, so shall it be. But it also needs to be said too that Islam is not specifically tied to any particular race, although it's very commonly associated with Arabs. Mm-hmm. So the Arabs are very much, associated with that particular verse because that's who they are descended from. But that said, we need to, and here's the thing, I'm so glad you mentioned that, Vincent, because we ain't seen nothing yet. I mean, the chaos coming is going to make the chaos that's happening now seem like a picnic. I mean, there is going to be more division. And I hate saying that because I really want to say things that make people feel warm inside. But here's the reality. Here's the reality. Things are going to get worse. The division is going to get worse because we are in the last days. You can mark that down. You can take that to the bank. We are in the last days. And everything Jesus said is going to take place. He said, you will be hated by all nations because of me. And already we're seeing that. I mean, there is a tax on Christians everywhere, not just in the Middle East, but in the West as well. It's happening all over the place. Christians are coming under attack. The left is stepping up its attack on Christianity big time, big time. Make no mistake about that. There were a lot of different organizations that came out, including Open Doors and another organization that said that Christianity is the most persecuted group in the world. For a second year in a row, they are the most persecuted group in the world, and this is only going to increase. Christians are going to be slaughtered more and more around the world. And again, it's interesting with the amount of focus on the killings, on the massacre in Christchurch, yet no word on the massacre of the Nigerian Christians.
Right.
And no word even on. And no word of the terror attack that even happened in Utrecht in the Netherlands, where three people were killed by a Muslim terrorist. So there was no word about that. Very, very little. In fact, I'm just about to publish an article called Western Media Downplays Terror Attack in Utrecht in the Netherlands. You know, in fact, someone just, a Catholic author, she just tweeted and said, wasn't there a terrorist attack in Utrecht yesterday? Why is that? After
right.
one day, the mainstream media has all but brushed it aside. Interesting how that works, she says. So we're going to see a lot of that more and more in the last days. The lives of Christians are going to be increasingly cheapened. And, you know, Muslims will be more and more pandered to. Islam will be, people will gush over Islam and fawn over Islam more and more in these last days, and Christians will basically be derided and you know, and again, we can get back to what I said at the beginning. First, they will demonize you, then they will dehumanize you. This is what's going to happen, you know. And another thing too, Vincent, if we've got time, we've got 5 minutes. You know, the left are really pushing this whole white privilege thing. You know, even Beto O'Rourke came out and said, you know, I acknowledge my white privilege. I mean, you need to understand that there is a satanic strategy behind that because Satan hates two groups of people, and it's Christians and Jews. He hates Jews because they are the natural seed of Abraham. He hates Christians because they are the spiritual seed of Abraham. And he wants to destroy them both. He also, in particular, hates the West because the West is basically, you know, it was produced by Christianity. It's an example. It's the fruit of Christianity, Western civilization. So what no better way to target Christians and Jews by coming up with this insidious term called white privilege and by dehumanizing whites? This is what we're seeing happening more and more, you know. And so they want to target whites because you not only are targeting the Christians who will not go along with the self-loathing leftist narrative and repent of their whiteness, but they're also going to target Jews because Jews won't be able to hide. You know, this is a satanic strategy because Satan wants to destroy Jews and he wants to destroy Christians. And white privilege, the whole demonization of the white race is an insidious way in which Satan is going to do that. And, you know, we hear a lot about white privilege now, but you just wait. As the days go on, as the years go on, you'll hear more and more about Jew privilege. And we're seeing it happening in the Democrat Party right now. It's becoming more and more anti-Semitic. Nancy Pelosi has been woeful in her ability to rebuke the comments by Ilhan Omar, and she hasn't done nothing. In fact, there has been no rebuke. In fact, they just recently had another meeting about it, and there was even anti-Semitic jokes that were said. So the party is becoming more and more anti-Semitic, just as the UK Labour Party has become. The UK Labour Party is so anti-Semitic that the Jews that were a part of that party have now left because it's institutionalized anti-Semitism. And
right.
Same thing here in Australia. I mean, it's all over the world. But we need to understand the satanic rage behind that. That's what needs to be understood.
Daniel, I do not want to diminish what you're saying. In fact, let me just lay out a format of what's going to happen on Omega Radio right after we get off the air. I've got to get going here. I'm going to go to Kerm in an hour. I'll be on Kerm Radio. And this was a great discussion. But right when I get off the air right now on Omega Radio, Daniel Seckerman is sharing on the Muslim immigration and Islamic doctrine of Hijra. That'll be up right after this. Then we have a Q report that is brand new. And then Patricia Joy Xavier will be on Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, which she just walked right past me. And I've never seen more beauty and glory. My heart was taken away. I probably missed 10 seconds of what you said. Daniel, it has been amazing to be with you, my dear brother. God bless you for staying up so late in Australia time. Let's keep on the subject. And if you're awake in an hour, you make sure you call me and we'll be on Kerm Radio. We'll talk about these things. If not, we'll see you next week. But right now, coming up on Omega Radio, Daniel Seckerman on the Muslim immigration and the Islamic doctrine of Hijra. So get to omegaradio.org. I'm Vincent Xavier. You've been listening to The Watchman right here on the Omega Radio Network and Blog Talk Radio. Until we meet again, God bless. Shalom. Keep your head in the heavens, saints of God. Keep yourselves in the love of Christ, as was mentioned. Good night, Daniel. God bless your heart, sir.
God bless.